Colossians chapter number 1. We'll read down through here a ways. It says, Paul, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is coming to you as it is into all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day that ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his Son, his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. I want to talk for a little bit this morning about a good translation. A good translation. And you know what? We always talk about translation, and you think of the Bible, and you think of the perverted versions of what they call the Bible, and you know, the arguments about whether or not we have the Bible, and you know, whether this is a good translation, that's a good translation. I don't just have a good translation, I've got the Word of God. I have the words of God that He wants us to have, and I believe that wholeheartedly, and praise God for that. But in verse number 13, it says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. I want to ask you, are you a good translator? Are you a good translation? You see, he has translated us from the power of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. So you've been translated, amen? You've been translated, and are you a good translation? I want to look at about seven things about a good translation. A good translation would be today as we go back through these verses. In verse number 2, it says, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The first thing about a good translation is a good translation is faithful. A good translation is faithful. Are you faithful? I mean, God has translated you. I've got a King James Bible. I believe it's faithful. It's faithful and true. Jesus Christ is faithful and true, true and faithful. I've got a Bible that's faithful and true, true and faithful. You've been translated. Are you faithful? I'm not asking, are you perfect? I'm not asking, do you ever make mistakes? I'm asking, are you faithful to God? Are you faithful to God? There's a lot of people running around out there. They get saved. They're born again. I believe they're on their way to heaven. I believe they are trying to love the Lord Jesus Christ like we all are. And I believe they're misled, some of them, and I think sometimes we can be misled if we're not careful, if we're not praying and reading our Bible and everything, but are you a good, faithful translation? I mean, you've already been translated. You're in the kingdom of his dear Son. You're in a spiritual kingdom. You're part of a spiritual kingdom, the kingdom of God. You're in. Amen. If you've trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you're in. Christ is in you. You're in him, and he's at the right hand of God the Father. You're as good as in heaven. You are in. But I'm asking you, are you living a faithful life? Are you a good translation? If you're here today, you're still living in the power of darkness if you're not saved. If you're not saved, you never trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. If you never realized that you were worthy of burning in hell, that you were a sinner, that you've broken God's rules, that you had enmity between you and God, and you realized that Jesus Christ died, was buried, rose again, shed his blood, and you called on him and said, Lord, forgive me and save me. I'm trusting you and you alone. If you've never done that, you have not been translated. Not only are you not a good translation, you're not even a translation. You're the original, amen? And that's not good. That's not good. But are you, say folks, are you a good translation? Are you faithful? And you go, oh, I don't argue about the Bible. No, you know, I don't have to argue about it anymore. God settled it for me. You want to argue about it? Go ahead and argue about it. You don't believe what I believe? You don't have to. God settled it for me. I got a good translation. I got the best translation. I got the whole Word of God here. I want to be a good translation. He translated me from the power of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. Another thing about a good translation, look at verse 4. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints. So a good translation is faithful, but a good translation is also forbearing. Forbearing one another in love. Love for all the saints. You say, well, it's hard to be faithful to God. It's hard to love all the saints. Amen. Let's just be honest about it. Let's just be honest about it. I mean, we fight this flesh and we struggle with this flesh and our being faithful to God, we wax and wane and we come short. We got to get it under the blood and keep going. You know what? But God's always right. God's always perfect. He's always holy. He's always righteous. He's always good. No matter what happens, He's always good. And sometimes we're not faithful to Him. But other saints are a pain sometimes, just like you and I are. See, we've got a lot more to deal with each other. We've got imperfect people trying to show the perfect love of God to each other. And we can't even fully understand it. But if you're a good translation, you'll be faithful to God, and you'll be forbearing one another in love. You'll be trying to love each other the way Christ wants you to love each other. Amen? Now don't raise your hands and don't nod your, try not to nod your heads, please. But if you've been in the same church for over 15, 20 years, there are going to be times where you go, I don't know where to go back here. Somebody crossed me. Somebody did something wrong. Somebody took my seat. Somebody took my parking spot. They didn't check my hand. You're going to be in the wrong mood. They're going to be in the wrong mood. Eventually, something's going to happen. And you're going to, in your mind, you're going to have a justification for running from God. And you're going to, you know, a lot of people make up their mind. They'll go, well, I'm going to go do this because I didn't like that. And God ain't in it. You know, most of the time when there's a problem, husbands and wives can amen this one. You're both wrong somewhere. She's having a bad day, and I just, it's not all her, it's all you, knucklehead. I mean, you're bungling things up all the time. Amen? But what we don't realize is sometimes if we realize he's having a bad day or she's having a bad day, before it gets worse, we can stop it from getting worse. You think God don't look at us and go, they're having a bad day? I think I'll just get mad at him and destroy him and leave him. I'm glad he don't do that, amen? But you realize, husbands, you wives can relax. Husbands, you ever realize sometime afterwards that you were wrong? Does that ever happen? Just once even? Okay, let's take it a step further. You realize she was right and you were wrong. How about saved people? We could joke around about the husband and wife stuff because you're stuck with each other, amen? You are stuck with each other until the rapture, amen? You'd probably be holding hands up there and then God will have to separate you because you love each other so much. Right. But church folks, one of these church splits and Baptists can't get along. You know why Baptists can't get along? Because they're never taught to get along. You know how you stop three-year-olds from beating each other in the head with toys? You teach them how to not do that. Amen? And it's not easy to do. You know why? Because they like to beat each other in the head with toys. I mean, you got somebody that likes to beat themselves in the head with toys. And then they want to see what it does to somebody else. What's it look like when I do this, you know? So they beat their brothers and sisters in the head with toys. And you know what we do? We get kicked in the head or hit in the head with a toy at church. And they're like, I want to see what it looks like when they get it. Amen. Oh, mercy and grace. See, this isn't easy living. It's easy preaching. It's not easy living. But the thing is, you got to be where God plants you and learn how to get along with each other. Amen. You know why the divorce rate is as high or higher, probably higher in saved people's lives now than it is in lost people's lives? Besides the fact that lost people don't get married hardly anymore? It's because they live like lost people. Are you a good translation? Are you faithful to God? Are you forbearing one another in love? And the wives say, you would not believe how long-suffering and forbearing I am. Amen. But look at verse 5 and 6. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is coming to you, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doeth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. So if you're a good translation, if God looked down and say, that person right there, my child right there, is a good translation. They're faithful to me. Oh, they make mistakes. They fall. They get back up again. They get it in the blood. And they go on. They're faithful to me. They're forbearing one another in love. And, you know, they're putting up with each other for the sake of Jesus Christ, for the cause of Jesus Christ. And he's worth it. He's worth it. There really is no other reason to put up with each other. That's why what's going on in the Middle East is going on. Because there's no reason to put up with each other without Jesus Christ. There really isn't. And if you don't believe in God, if your God's telling you to blow yourself up for eternity's sake, then you're going to do stuff like I do over. If you don't really try to serve God and try to forbear one another in love and try to be a good translation, you can do the same type of thing. You might not blow each other up with bombs, but you do it in your heart. Amen. But a good translation should be faithful. A good translation would be forbearing one another in love. And a good translation will be fruitful. Look at that verse again. Verse 6, which is coming to you as it is in all the world and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you. Fruitful. Every single person in here, if you're saved by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ, if you get to the judgment seat of Jesus Christ and you never led one person to the Lord, it's not God's fault. It's not God's fault. And I'm here to tell you, you might witness to 5,000 people and never see anybody get saved. You might not see it. But the odds are, if you're witnessing all the time, somebody's going to get saved whether you know it or not. And not only that, you might plant the first seed that sends them on the road to salvation. You know, God doesn't expect us to walk up to everybody and be like, have the power of God on us so much. That would be nice, wouldn't it? We just walked up and touched people and said, won't you be saved? And they said, oh, I got to be saved. But God tells us to be faithful to Him, and you're faithful to Him, you'll tell people about the death, burial, and resurrection, the blood that was shed for them, hand them a tract, whatever you got to do, and you'll be fruitful. Okay, well, what if you lived, you got saved, you lived 10 years as a saved person, you led one person, Jesus Christ. You know Jesus Christ died for that one person? If one person is all that ends up in eternity because of your witness and the blood of Jesus Christ, that's one person that's not burning in hell forever. I'm not trying to get you to be discouraged. I don't want you to be thinking you've got to be D.L. Moody or Billy Sunday and you've got to have a notch on your gun belt all over the place where you got led 5,000 people to the Lord last year. I'm not telling you that. I'm telling you, you should be faithful to God and you should be witnessing. And if you're doing that, if you're faithful and you're forbearing, you're going to be fruitful. Amen? You know why God might not let you see somebody get saved? Because He probably knows you quit. Say, well, I got one. Amen? You might have 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, maybe 100 people that are actually saved you don't know about. But you got to be witnessing. You got to be faithful. You got to be forbearing. Oh, good night, forbearing one another in love. You got to forbear some people in this world, too. The lost. I mean, good night. Crazy stuff going on out there. But a good translation will be faithful. A good translation will be forbearing. A good translation will be fruitful. Look at verse 7. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. A good translation will be a fellow servant. See that? As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant. You realize that Jesus Christ didn't send the disciples out one at a time? He sent them out in pairs. You're in a church full of people that want to do something for Jesus Christ. Now look, I understand, I'm a person. I understand we're nuts. Man. We got problems. We got problems. But I also understand that people, there are some people you really click with. And there's some people you don't quite click with as well. And there's some people you'll never click with. Why don't you find some people that you click with and go out and hand out some tracts or something? Don't wait for me to do it. I mean, we can do it as a church. When weather gets warmer, we can start doing that stuff again. We can start doing that, getting out signs and stuff. But how about calling up somebody and say, hey, you know what? Let's go down to Walmart, and we're walking through the parking lot. Let's try to hand out 5 tracts apiece. You go in the kids' department, you can lay out one of those kids' tracts. Just lay it out there. If you're worried about, you know, they don't have to be stamped. God will take care of putting people in the seats. Seriously, he'll take care of that the way he wants to do it. But if you're like, well, they'll be calling the church, complaining about all the tracts. If they do, I'll go down there and hand them a tract and witness to them. Praise the Lord. I'll go down there and they can yell at me. I'm used to it. I deserve it. I've earned it. Amen. Whatever. I don't even bother me. I expect it. Like old preacher Brother Ruckman used to say, it bothers me when people aren't upset with me. It starts making me nervous. Amen. But the thing is, find somebody to yoke up with. Husbands and wives, good team. Amen. So, you know, wives have to remind us about everything. The only thing we remember is the one thing we were planning on that morning we got up. We're like, no, I'm going to do this today. And the wives go, oh, yeah, put some tracks in your pocket. Oh, yeah, I could do that, too. And then, now I forgot what I was going to do. What? Amen? So then you can text them. You got tracks in your pocket, and you're going to the farm store. Amen? But husbands and wives, you're going to Walmart, Kroger, wherever you're going, take some tracks with you. If you don't like talking to people, wait till they talk to you. Pray about it. God will line it up. Sometimes I'm in a bad mood. Don't want anybody talking to me. Everybody wants to talk to me. And I figured that, oh, we're going to talk about Jesus. Amen? Because I ain't got no other reason to talk to you today. I'm not in a good mood. We'll just talk about Jesus. How about that? Amen? But take somebody. Get somebody to go with you. Say, hey, we're going to have a ladies' meeting. They're going to have a lady. We're not. They are. Ladies are. They're going to have a ladies' meeting Tuesday. How about Tuesday before you get to the ladies' meeting? Make sure you got some tracks when you leave it. And if you guys ever go out to eat, there's a chance. There's an opportunity. But a fellow servant, you know what a fellow servant does? A fellow servant will get in the yoke bearing the same burden with another servant going the same direction. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about Jesus Christ. You know when they yoke these two oxen up in this yoke and they've got it pulling a cart or wagon or whatever it's pulling? It has to go the same direction because it's yoked up. You know, a lot of saved people, they never get yoked up. You know, they're loners. I'm a loner. You're a rebel, and you don't like to stick your neck out, and you don't want to sacrifice, and it's all about you. And if you quit making it about you and start making it about Jesus Christ, you'll have a better life. But when you yoke those two oxen up, and they got that burden behind them, they're pulling that burden the same direction. You know what you ought to be yoking up with somebody that's got the burden to see people saved? And you ought to be going the same direction. When you're going the same direction, that direction is toward Jesus Christ. I'm not trying to be mean to you. I'm just telling you, you're going to stand before Jesus Christ one of these days. Amen. I'm not talking about your salvation. I'm talking about we must all appear to judge Jesus Christ. So a good translation will be faithful. A good translation will forbear one another in love. A good translation will be fruitful. A good translation will be a fellow servant. Now look, I got nothing against it. If you got a sign, you want to stand out on the corner by yourself, and you want to stand out with that are you saved sign, or whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, you want that, praise God. But get somebody that you love, that you like, that you can tolerate, and go out and do something for Jesus Christ. One of those three, love, like, or tolerate. Amen. If you're married, this should be all three of those. Amen. Fellow servant. Look at verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. A good translation should be filled with the knowledge of His will. Well, what's Christ's will? We just read it earlier in Sunday school, 2 Peter 3:8 and 9. 2 Peter 3:9 says He's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So His will is for people to come to repentance. How are they going to come to repentance? They don't know they need to come to repentance. So you should be filled with the knowledge of His will. His will is for you to win people to Him. Don't get confused. Don't let the devil mess your head up on this and think, well, I can't lead anybody to the Lord. Nobody wants to hear it. That's not the way it works. You know how many people get saved that never wanted to hear it? It happens all the time. God will work out the details. you just get filled with the knowledge of His will. And His will is that all should be saved, that all should come to repentance. Jesus Christ died for all. Amen? So a good translation, are you a good translation? Good translation will be faithful, it'll be forbearing, it'll be fruitful, it'll be fellow servant, it'll be filled. Look at verse 10. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. A good translation will be fervent. You know what that fervent is going to be? That fervency, it'll be seriously desiring to live the sanctified life God has presented you with. A sanctified life. Now look, that Bible says, be ye holy as I am holy. Now, we've got to be careful here. We've got to define what holiness is. Holiness is not a $2,000 suit with a white shirt and a specific haircut, even though if you're a man, you should look like a man, you're a woman, you should look like a woman. But it's not all this stuff. It's not all this outward adorning so you can look like a Pharisee. Or look at me, I'm special. This holiness is how you act and react and whether you're pleasing to Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you something. If you're wearing bib overalls in the will of God or you're wearing a $3,000 suit in the will of God, you're just as pleasing. And you're not getting in because of your $3,000 suit. You're getting in because of the righteous robe of Jesus Christ anyway. And I'm not saying we shouldn't give our best for the Lord. I've said it before and I'll say it again. People say, well, I just don't believe in that dressing stuff. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Then do the same at a funeral and a wedding. Amen. If you would make it special for a loved one, for whatever cause, why not make it special for Jesus Christ? Oh, because people are going to think I'm a hypocrite. They already know. They're hypocrites too. Everybody's a hypocrite. The only ones that wasn't a hypocrite, they nailed to a cross and He shed His blood to save you. We're all hypocrites. Actors. If we weren't hypocrites, there would be no married people in this world. Amen. Because sometimes you got to act like everything's all right when really you're a mess and you're blaming it on them. Amen. And the men said amen and the women just sat there quietly laughing. Amen. But a good translation will be faithful. A good translation will forbear one another in love. A good translation will be fruitful. A good translation will be a fellow servant, not some loner, not some rebel, but a fellow servant for the cause of Jesus Christ. A good translation will be filled with the knowledge of His will to get people saved. Try to get people saved. He that winneth souls is wise. That means if you go out and brag on Jesus Christ, you tell people about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you hand out tracts and you brag on Him and somebody comes up to you and says, oh, can you help me? I'm lost. Oh, good night. Can I help you? I was lost. And then I remember Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, that died, was buried, and rose again, and He'll do the same for you. By the way, where were you looking for? But you can get that in there. The Lord will kick the door off the hinges a lot of times. You've got opportunities. But you'll be filled with His will. You'll be fervent about living that sanctified life. You know, talking about that pharisaical stuff and talking about, we are so hyper-reactive. Hyper-reactive. The Bible believers especially, man, they're hyper-reactive. Some of the crowd just don't react to anything. They're like, hey, we're just going to do what we want. Jesus has to take me. Okay, well, whatever. He has to take you if you're saved, but He's not going to be happy with you if you just do Christ. But we're hyper-reactive as Bible believers. What we want to do is, well, the Pentecostals, they do this, and we ain't going nowhere near it. The charismatic crowd, all they talk about is the Holy Spirit, so we're just going to leave the Holy Spirit alone. Well, the Holy Spirit will leave you alone too then. Oh, they, you know, well, the Baptist preacher down the road, he measures dress lengths and measures hair lengths and measures, you know, dress appropriately, dress modest apparel, amen? But he's got all these rules and all that, so we're not going to have any rules. Amen? Bathing suit Sunday, amen? We're not going to have any rules. Spitting a spit tune over there, you know, whatever. We're not going to have any rules. You know what? Quit making excuses for your sin. Get right with God. Do what He tells you to do. I'm not the Holy Spirit. If you come in here wearing something that's totally inappropriate and you know better, I might say, hey, you know what? You might want to tell him to get some long pants on. Amen. Or you might want to, you know, look, dude, your wife's in here running around like, you know. But you got the Holy Spirit living in you. You got to know what's right. You got to be able to stand in front of the mirror and say, Lord, is this pleasing to you? He won't lie to you. You might ignore him, but he won't lie to you. Amen. But the thing about, you know, we've got Bible believers, we believe the Bible, we know the Bible, we rightly divide the Bible, we just ain't going to do anything for the Lord. We're just going to tell everybody about the Bible. And we got no standards because the preacher down the street got standards and everybody calls him a Pharisee. So we ain't got no standards. That's why you got people running around here drinking booze that are saved and going to church every week. You got people running around here smoking cigarettes. And look, I know people have addictions, people have problems, but don't make the excuse of I'm not going to do it because I don't have to. How about I'm struggling with it, I'm praying about it, and it's a problem, and ask the Lord to help you. But don't make an excuse and say, well, the people down the street, they're legalists, so I'm just going to do what I want. No, how about making God happy? Is there anybody in here that God's not upset with once in a while? Good night, no. But we got people, well, you know, Jesus drank wine, so you can go out and drink a little bit. No, you know, you can go ahead and, you know, now probably marijuana in the churches, coffee shops in the churches, you know. Well, you know, I've heard this argument from people that said they're saved. Well, God made the marijuana plant. We made the poison plant next to it. Smoke that. Amen? Let me make you a tincture. Alcohol-free. Amen? Why don't you not look up your mushrooms in mushroom season? Just give it a whirl. God made them. How about abstain from the very appearance of evil? You say, well, I can drink once in a while and it doesn't hurt anybody. How about if it's hurting the guy down there is trying to quit drinking? And the other preacher down the road saying it's fine and they're drinking at their church. And you got somebody trying to get right with God and you're doing something that's making a brother stumble. Amen. And then all this junk out there with the pot leaves on it and all this stuff, all this garbage, you know, they're barking it. Well, God made this and it's the miracle cure. Oh, I know everything's the miracle cure. I was in healthcare for a while. Everything. Colloidal silver will fix everything. I mean everything. It'll straighten out your attitude. It'll make your wife better. It'll make your life better. Amen. Scott's getting colloidal silver. Amen. Miranda's getting two boxes and a case of oregano oil for Scott. Amen. But it'll make colloidal silver just fix everything. And then next week it's vitamin D. Vitamin D will fix everything. And vitamin D is good stuff. You should probably take it. But it doesn't fix everything. It's just crazy. I understand that. But if it's the appearance of evil, don't hang out in the gray area. Find the line and get way away from it. Say, well, that's just ridiculous. That's legalism. I'm not telling you where the line is. The Bible and the Holy Spirit will tell you where the line is. Your responsibility is to stay away from the line. Amen? They might say, well, Gateway Baptist Church, that guy's not obnoxious. All he does is talk about the Lord handing out tracts, and sometimes he gives the Jehovah's Witnesses kicking the britches. He's just a terrible person. Oh, well, whatever. But I don't want them to say the people down there just do whatever they want. They live like hell. They're saved. They're always saved. That once saved, always saved stuff. So they're out drinking. They're out doing this. They're out doing that. And they're out bragging on their eternal security. Get right with God and stay away from the line. Amen. And we've all got somewhere we need to get away from that line on. Amen. But this hyper-reactionism, we've got to stay away from what the people that don't believe the Bible believe. No, sometimes they're right on stuff. You know what the Bible says? Be ye filled with the Spirit. We're supposed to be filled with the Spirit of God. Amen? I'm not talking about a second blessing. I'm talking about getting the trash out and letting God move in. You can't fill a cup half full of dirt and have it full of water. It's full of half dirt and half water. You get the dirt out, you can fill it all the way up with water. Amen? So the Holy Spirit's not the problem. You or me, when we don't match up with the Word of God, we'll make excuses by putting it off on the Pentecostals or charismatic this or that. The Assembly of God does this, we're good. We can't. Hey, don't make excuses for your sin. There's a sin that so easily besets us. Everybody in here struggling with something. See, I am a prophet. I knew that. We do. We struggle with stuff. But don't make an excuse to live for the devil and blame it on God. Amen. So a good translation will be faithful. A good translation will forbear one another in love. A good translation will be fruitful. A good translation will be a fellow servant. A good translation will be filled with the knowledge of His will. A good translation, if you're a good translation, you'll be fervent about wanting to live a clean life to represent Jesus Christ the way He should be, the best we can. Look at verse 11. Strengthen with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. A good translation should be fixed. Fixed on a goal. And that goal is to be right with God and to end right with God. Look what it says in that verse again. Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, and to all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Be fixed on the goal of being right with God. How? Patience and long-suffering. If you're going to be right with God, you're going to stay right with God, you're going to learn how to be patient, you're going to learn how to be long-suffering. You know what Jesus Christ was? Two of his greatest attributes on this earth, patience and long-suffering. The Word of God, he came not to judge at that time. He came to save. He came as a humble servant. I mean, if I was anywhere near God and I come to this earth and I've dealt with half the stuff he dealt with, there'd be smoking piles of dust all over the place. Patient and long-suffering. Talk about patience. He came to this earth knowing he was going to Calvary. He knew it for 30-some years. And he patiently followed the will of the Father and went to Calvary. Long-suffering. Long-suffering. You know what? Probably if God was more like man, he'd probably zapped all his disciples. Think about it. Oh, Peter had been smoked. I hear no doubt about that. He'd never made it. It'd just been Paul after Christ. It had been it. But he's long-suffering. Are you a good translation? God has translated you. If you're saved, he's translated you out of the power of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. Are you living as a good translation? Faithful, forbearing, fruitful. Fellow servant, filled with the knowledge of his will, fervently trying, desiring to be pleasing to God, fixed on the goal of ending right, patience and long-suffering. A good translation is believable. A good translation is believable. True. Are you truthful? Can people trust you? A good translation is beneficial to the purpose of the translator. You know what? This is beneficial to the purpose of the translator. You know what else? Hang on to your hats, Bible correctors. A good translation is better than the original. I said, well, that's silly. That can't be true. Well, they argue about that all the time. Oh, the translation can't be accurate. Translation can't be better than the original. Well, you were translated out of power of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. Was the original better, or is the next one better? Is the new you better, or the old you? I'm not talking about whether you're perfectly walking in the light of Christ all the time. I'm talking about which is better, the one after the nature of the first Adam or the one that's in the second Adam. Which one's better? The second one. Enoch was translated. Elijah was raptured out of here translated. You were translated, and your second you is better than the first you. So the translation is absolutely, unequivocally, without a doubt, better than the original. Amen. Amen. Are you a good translation?